Welcome to Revisit Ed, a podcast of RedefinedOnline.org, catching up on our favorite stories from the new definition of public education. On this episode, Step Up for Students President Doug Cuthill catches up with Joanne Glenn, Pasco County's Principal of the Year and one of the founders of Pasco eSchool. The virtual school has seen a 500% enrollment jump since the pandemic began. Cuthill and Glenn discuss the challenges she's faced in the fall, developing professional trainings for teachers to continue to evolve in their new environments, and discuss what changes will be permanent as families seek more flexible and customizable learning environments for their children. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the episode.
I'm excited to have Joanne Glenn back with us, who is the eSchool principal in Pasco County, which is a little bit north of St. Pete Clearwater in Florida. And so, Joanne, I'm excited to talk to you because last time we talked, it was still a couple months before school opened, and now school has opened. So I just was excited to get a little update on what's worked well, what are your improvement opportunities, what are you seeing, what are you experiencing? I know it's been quite exciting. So why don't you just give us an update on what you've been experiencing?
Well, thanks for checking in. It's definitely been a busy summer and start to our fall term. Our school, you may remember, served a small number of full-time students between 300 and 600, depending on the year. And the majority of our students were shared. This year, we are up to just around 3,200 full-time students.
Wow.
And so there are lots of opportunities for us to improve. We've been super busy with hiring and training new staff and helping families get settled into our way of work. So for us, one of the big takeaways was that it was a challenge to forecast the demographics of the students that we were going to be welcoming into our full-time program. That is, we weren't sure until much further into the process how many would be elementary, middle, and high school. And that meant that our staffing model was not as proactive as you might see in a bricks and mortar school that has a defined feeder pattern. So we're going through the process of adjusting as a school district to make sure that we have adequate supports in place for our staffing model and for our families.
So you had about a 500% increase in your enrollment.
Yes. It's actually, if you disaggregate it a little bit, it's even a little more challenging than that. Our full-time elementary population is usually about 50 students. That's 50. It is 1,460. So that's been the biggest area of growth for us. Our middle school program is usually about 120 full-time students, and we are just below 800 in our middle school program. And then our high school is where the balance of our enrollments usually are, so usually about 200 overall students. And we're sitting just under 1,000 in that grade band. So it's been a challenge for us, and I would say, by the way, all of the district and statewide virtual programs are in similar straits, just trying to hire, train, and orient all of our new community members and get our school year off to a good start.
How are you interfacing with the brick and mortar schools? Because I know they're also struggling with trying to do in-class instruction as well as virtual instruction. And so how is that affecting your work in your virtual school?
Well, I would say that we're not really collaborating quite as much now that school's underway about the nitty-gritty details of their instruction versus our instruction. However, in the run up to the launch of school, we collaborated really heavily with our school administrators and our district administrators to put a digital backbone in place for all of our schools, which allowed us to have contingency plans for if we had groups of students that needed to be quarantined or for our hybrid instructional model. In terms of now that the school year has started, what I would say is we are seeing some families who have selected one model and are choosing to move to the other model because they need either more synchronous contact with a teacher, which is not really our domain, and or they prefer to have a more flexible schedule, and so they're switching between the two. And we've had students whose families initially felt concerned about reopening our physical campuses during the pandemic. And now that PASCO's positivity numbers have remained low and the relative case counts have been pretty well controlled and reported, we have had families choose to return on campus. And so that's really good to see that our community is feeling more and more comfortable with that option.
I know a lot of longtime veteran teachers are really struggling with hybrid instruction. You know, mm-hmm. you read it all over the state of Florida, and I know around the country. Obviously, your staff has expertise in virtual education, online learning, and so that's something that your team is used to. Have you been able to reach out and help in any way? I mean, how's that? What have you been able to do to help the teachers in the district schools that are suddenly having to change their instructional models after 25 years of doing it a certain way?
We actually had established some pretty strong collaboration during quarter four of last year. And so some of the things that distinguished our district's response from neighboring counties and even, you know, districts across the country were that we leaned in on the existing district learning management systems and resources and leveraged the digital content that eSchool used in almost every instance and leaned on the technical expertise that we have around course design so that in areas where an existing off-the-shelf content wasn't available, we could mentor the subject matter experts in developing just-in-time digital activities. So those collaborations sort of gelled over the course of quarter four. And we used other tools like closed Facebook groups for elementary teachers and secondary teachers who taught with that model in quarter four. And we left those Facebook groups open. And so those collaborations are continuing, even though we're not really directly involved in that operation. You'll see folks posting. We're using a lot of the same content. So you'll see folks posting with questions about specific lessons, questions about resources or how to edit content and things like that. And then the other thing that we did was we really supported efforts in our district with professional development over the summer. Because we had a pretty solid quarter four response in terms of how our systems performed and our transition between the models, we were able to design summer professional development in July for teachers that anticipated that we would continue the things that worked well and attack the areas that we wanted to shore up and provide virtual professional development for our teachers to help prepare. Of course, we still have ongoing needs and some areas that we're continuing to collaborate around, but overall, I think that we are moving in the right direction.
Everybody's talking about how this might impact us going forward. Based on what you've seen, how much of the changes are you seeing are going to be permanent? What might those permanent changes look like?
I think, first of all, I look for two trends to continue out of this. I don't really see a dramatic shift in the long term to large numbers of kids going to school solely online, at least not here. But I think that's going to be true across the board. I see the opportunity here is to have made some really dramatic shifts in thinking about how we use our time differently in buildings. So I think that we'll see more kids and more families looking for online options to create a more flexible school day. So it'll be a little less scary and unknown to think differently about how to create a schedule. You won't see as many kids settling for second and third choice courses to alleviate schedule conflicts on a campus. The other thing I would say that I think will continue is I think that this is going to be a part of every district's emergency preparedness plans going forward. And so I think that you'll see much more intentional development of digital content. I think you'll see school districts and educators being more savvy consumers of digital content. Instead of settling for quick answers from salespeople about whether content will work in your learning management system or support things like single sign-on, I think that people will require demonstration of that so that you don't wind up with systems that fail to communicate or that crash and burn. And so I think that's a really good thing. I think that you'll see people leveraging digital resources that come with adopted instructional materials and creating hybrid courses, even for kids that come to school 5 days a week. It'll be easier if students happen to be absent. The work will still be available. And I think that we may see something that's a little bit closer to more of a flipped classroom, where you see a more of a balance of online and synchronous interaction.